going to hit the ground running. I am kind of under a mandate from God to get this teaching as far as I can, as much as I can. This coming year, we're going to go month to month. This year, I try to go easy on you guys, a month and a half, but we're not having enough time. And by the time we re-meet again, half of what we've learned is already gone. So I'm having to reestablish some things. So yeah, we're gonna hit the ground running this coming year. Every month, we're going to have our seminars. People, what I am learning is, I want to cry right now because I don't know if it was a timing issue. I don't know if God had to get it over to us. I don't know if it was maturity. I don't know why it hasn't been released to the body of Christ at large and to Pastor and I until now. But it's never too late with God. God knows everything, and he knows the timing of everything. Amen? So praise God. We're on part 6 of Swords Marriage Seminar. A true biblical family. For those of you that are calling in, we have a picture of a house. On the roof, is father is the cover. Inside the house, we have a little family, a mom, a dad, and two kids. And it says, mother is the heart of the home. And then at the very bottom of the entire structure of what we call our families, it's Jesus, our foundation. And if Jesus is not being our foundation in our homes, then we are literally building on sinking sand, because he said you're either going to build on the sand or on the rock. Jesus is the rock. The word of God is the rock. And so we want to build his way. Amen. And we're going to do a quick work in our homes, people. We don't have much time. And I'm not even talking about the actual end of the world. And I'm not even actually talking about the rapture. God has been speaking to Pastor and I, and I will tell you this, that and it's so awesome that God is confirming with Pastor and myself, and sometimes even Brian. But we, what the Spirit of the Lord told me in no uncertain terms is, it's go time. It's go time. And I've never heard the Lord say that to me. And he said, you've got to do quick works, quick work in people, quick work in yourself, because of the things that are coming, people. And, you know, it's so funny. I preached it since day one. We've been talking about these things since day one. And I was like the deer in the headlights, like you, many of you, when the pandemic hit and then things started to unravel. And so, you know, we're now catching up to where God is. With God, everything is doable. With God, all things are possible. With God, with his grace and his mercy on us, we're going to get the job done, amen. And we're going to end on our feet, people, as the soldiers, as the warriors of God that we've been called to be and that we are. Amen. The husband learns from Christ how to love. This is the very first thing a man should put on his agenda if he wants to evolve and grow. Because men, you are the fullest and the closest representation of the love of God on the earth. Had we had the love of God being exemplified and being lived out in front of us from day one, our world would be completely and utterly different. But we dropped the baton and we dropped the core of who God is, which is love. We dropped that. And we got busy. That's a whole other teaching that we're going to get to. But right now, I'm building up towards something very powerful. So the first thing is, a man learns from Christ how to love. How to love his wife, how to love his children, how to love his home, how to love people in church, how to love people out in the streets, you know, as we're driving around, or maybe you are ministering to the homeless. That's where we learn how to love and to love properly. I had a very rude awakening. Women go through a certain time in their lives, and I went through that in a very harsh way, as a lot of women do. And I had no idea that I was being a nightmare on wheels. Until my family had two meetings with me that lasted over 3 hours, and I was sobbing hysterically, because in my mind, all the entire time since I had my first child, since I got married to Bill, I thought I was being the model wife, the greatest mom. I was trying so hard, people. Had graduated from the university, was really seeking to put, studied child development, was seeking to put all that information into play until they had that meeting and they told me the effect that I was having. And sometimes people, we think that we are, no, I really don't need this teaching. I'm actually doing okay. I got it. I understand all that. But the real truth comes out in the effect that we're having in those around us. Amen. Not in what we think we're accomplishing or the effect that we're having in our homes, but in the actual effect that we're having in our homes. Amen. So glory to God. You know, there's ways to know if you're on track. There's ways to know if you're evolving. And one of the chiefest ways is just literally to ask, you know, and ask your husband, you know, husband, how am I doing? Or wife, you know, how am I doing? But I, right now, let's not do that. I don't want to open a can of worms and then get everybody on each other. Let's grow a little more. Amen. Glory to God. So we're talking about the love of God. And look at this quote. A woman that is truly loved will give back more than was ever poured into her soul. Men, please listen to me. This is a very profound and very true statement. When a woman is loved, when you pour into her soul, she is going to give back way more than that, because that is how God made us. When we are loved properly, we end up flourishing. We end up coming alive. We end up with such a beautiful and precious personality, because in so many ways, someone that we loved, obviously we married you, someone that we admire is pouring into us. And when it's the love of God, watch out. Watch out the beautiful things that are going to come out of that. And then this quote says, it is easy to love my husband because he loves me so well. This is also very true, men. When you love your wife, think about it simply as the law of sowing and reaping. When you love your wife properly, she will reciprocate. She will love you back. And it's very few women are either so broken or so, I'm just going to say it, selfish, that they will not return what was given. But God will see to that. When we set ourselves to do what's good and what's right, we will always reap from God. Amen. I'm going to go a little fast today. Loving according to the word is the only love that is real, sincere, and that is acceptable to God. Again, you want to check yourself before you wreck yourself. You want to make sure that your concept of love is coming from the word. Amen. This is a process that will take us an eternity to get down. Don't be overwhelmed by it, but you've got to start someday somewhere. And look at, the husband has got the Bible out and they're sharing the word of God. It's the word of God, people, that teaches us everything about God, including the love of God. Amen. We've got the great love chapter that is usually quoted at weddings, 1 Corinthians 13 chapter, where it talks about love. It's very, very good direction on what love looks like. Amen. Loving the wife as Christ commands. Number one, he is to model. You are to show the wife. He is to model to his wife the very love of Christ himself by the way he loves her. Ephesians 5 parallels the love Christ has for his church, his bride, is that of a man with his bride and his wife. Christ is asking man to love his woman the way Christ has loved all of us, his church. Why? Why love them in that fashion? Because only this type of love is valid. Man is a continuation of the love of God on the earth. And this continuation of Christ's love is to begin in our homes. Living out our true faith begins at home always. Some people say religion starts at home. However you want to say it, it has to show at home. You can't be lovely and precious outside of your home to everybody and then in your home be a completely different person. Amen? We want to start at our homes. And, you know, you're going to get so strong because in the beginning, when you first start going into all of these things, you're going to be met with resistance, especially cynicism from our teenagers, from some of the kids. It's like, what are you doing? How come you're being so nice? And they're not going to trust it and so on. But you pursue this love walk, and I promise you, you're going to revolutionize not only yourself, but also your home, which is what we're after, amen? God is after the entire family, people. He doesn't want your children lost to this very, very evil, dark world that's just gaining momentum. A man will treat his wife the way he feels about her. This is very true. If a man doesn't care for his wife, he's not going to spend time with her. He's not going to talk to her. He's always going to be wanting be gone or outside or whatever. But if he loves his wife, he's going to make sure to spend time with her and ask her how she's doing. Find out how she's doing. Amen. But in the divine order that God has put in place, Christ is the center of all that you are and all that you esteem. Whatever is valuable to you, Christ must be that. And your wife is the most important person. We're not talking about God now. We're talking about a person here. And your wife is the most important person here on the earth to you, as she is God's gift to you. If God literally showed up and gave you the most precious gift, you wouldn't treat it badly. You wouldn't despise it. God Almighty gave it to you. And the Word of God says that he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. So God favored you in bringing you someone. Amen. We've got it completely upside down, people. We've got to turn it right side up going forward. Amen. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love. First thing he tells you is love. Love in a moral sense, your wives. Two, okay, how? Just as Christ also loved the church. Three, and gave, that means he surrendered and committed himself for her. 26, number four, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word. Then and only then, he might present her to himself a glorious, splendid, gorgeous, honorable, noble church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one has ever hated, which means detest, persecute, or love less his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it. That means to rear up to maturity, to train. And the word cherishes it means to warm, to foster. That word foster means to look after, care for, treasures, values, prizes, appreciates, reveres, esteems, takes pleasure in, just as the Lord does the church. So these are very powerful words that are showing us how we ought to feel about one another, people. Not like, oh my God, do I have to spend tonight with them? Oh my God, do I have to talk to them? Do I have to listen right now to what she has to say? We cannot be that way when you're thinking about nurturing your wife, nurturing, helping her to rear to maturity, to train, to warm to her, to foster her, to look after her, to treasure her. Amen? Number nine, for we are members of his body. You are members of a family, of his flesh and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to glue to adhere, which means stand by, stick to, hold, remain, and cling to. to adhere and to cleave, which means to join yourself to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Become one or be divided is what this definition said. You're either going to become one or you're going to be divided. So verse 32, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. That means to be frightened of, in a sense, not in a bad way, people. There are way too many wife beaters, abusers, you know. No, not in that way, like, oh my God, he's around, he's here, he's going to hurt me. No, but to be, in a sense, to be frightened means to be in awe. To be in awe of the position that your husband has with God. Whether he's walking in that position now or whether you believe it, he has great position with God. And that word to be frightened is to frighten, to be in awe of. That is to revere and exceedingly reverence. And revere means to respect profoundly. So Ephesians instructs every man how to love his wife. Number one, he is to love his wife in a moral sense. That means to be faithful, to keep his vows that he made to her before God and man during their marriage ceremony. He is to remain loyal. He is not going to stray from her emotionally or physically. He won't defraud her, embezzle her, or withhold her in any way, financially, socially, sexually, emotionally, and so on. Man should study the love of God, the love God has for his church, so that he can comprehend the breadth and depth and of true godly love. I think every man, in fact, you know, I do the counseling for married couples before they get married. And if we ever get to that place again, I am going to require for the men especially, also the women, but the men, to do a study on the love of God. Because you're going to love that woman with the love that Christ is telling you to love her with. Amen? So why? Why do you need to study it? Because this is the standard God has given to men. So he is to love his wife properly, a job well done, and according to the word of God. Amen? You know, a lot of what we learned as and in relationships and as far as love is what we learned at home. You know, we watched our mom and dad. If they were a great couple, oh, we're blessed. Thank God. If they were a miserable couple, poor us. We learned everything wrong and we thought this was normal. And those are interwoven into our psyche. They are already in there. We are programmed. You can say they wired our brain a certain way. Amen. But now we're going to change all that, not by Eva's opinion, not by all the books she's read, not by all the speakers you hear, but by the word of God Almighty. Amen. Number two, he loves her with the love of Christ because it, number one, heals. Husbands, when you love your wife like Christ loves the church, then you're going to help her heal quickly from trauma, from pain, and from past relationships and the way she grew up in her home, the way she was treated, and so on. Love heals. Love is healing you, men, because Christ is already enforcing that in you and loving you, as he says in Ephesians. It restores. It restores back her youth. It restores back her femininity. It restores back her feminine power. It restores back her preciousness, her personality. It restores the things that got damaged by the past. Love causes flourishing. And I love this picture of this flower. It opens up a woman. You may have a woman that's all shut up and, you know, internal, and she claims to be severely introverted. You know, I know all about that. I've studied that so much. I've taken so many personality tests. There are introverts and there are extroverts, and they both have their strong points. And, you know, I do realize that not everybody's going to be the same, but I will tell you this, that you cannot hold up your, I'm an introvert, so I'm sorry, I'm not going to be very loving, I'm going to be very much into myself. You cannot do that. It's impossible to connect. I don't care if you're the male and you're an introvert. I don't care if you're the female and you're an introvert. I know many women that are introverts and the men are the extroverts. I know many women that are not very affectionate, but the husband is. So we've got to meet halfway. There is no way that any of us can say, well, you know, this is just the way I am. Then you know what? You're going to get to heaven and the Lord said, is going to tell you, why are you still the same? Why? I gave you my word. I sent you ministers. Everything I could to help you evolve and you're still the same. Oh, this is just who I am. We can't say that anymore, people. It is time to let the word of God bring us to where we need to be. I don't want to be an introvert. I don't want to be an extrovert. I want to be what God wants me to be. Amen. Glory to God. Preach it, Pastor Eva. So it causes flourishing. You will open up your wife. She will begin to let you in. The love of God does that to people. It did that to you, men. It is causing you to open up your heart to God and then to your wife and so on. So the next is it opens up the heart. You know, some people were not loved properly at home. You know, and when you are loved properly, when you start to see and sense this powerful force coming at you that is just so awesome and so beautiful that it opens up your heart. You begin to slowly come out and say, you know what? This is worth it. This is worth coming out of my shell to experience this. It provides comfort. Love provides comfort. Something, it is so important that we serve the God of all comfort. That's what he calls himself. It is very important to have the God's comfort in our lives. So when you love your wife, you are comforting her. It's a comfort to her. Amen. And then it brings joy. Oh yes, when you love your wife properly, it makes her happy. It makes her joyful. That's very important. Now, some women, I don't know, they just want to hang on to the darkness. They want to hang on to all that happened to them growing up. And they want to hang on to a lot of negativity. Ladies, I have all the compassion on you. I've been teaching you, some of you, for 45 years. I'm very patient. But now we're getting close to the end. Now we got to put it in, like, switch the gear to 100 miles an hour and let's go for it. And let's let that love affect us and let's start bringing joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Very important in the house. And then love builds hope. Oh my gosh, especially if you've been in one relationship after another, after another, after another, and you're you were a little serial dater trying to find the one. And then you find someone that loves you. That brings you hope. It's like, oh my God, it was real. There is such a thing as this beautiful connection. Thank you, Lord, you did it. And then it teaches us true trust. When we are loved properly, you learn to trust. I've watched children so profoundly. You can learn so much by watching how they learn and how they adapt and so on. When a child is loved properly, it teaches them to trust. And they grow up trusting. They trust their parents. They trust one another at home. Amen? And so love will teach people how to trust. And then it brings out the best in us. You want to see the best in your wife? Love her. Love her. Nurture her. Comfort her. Guys, you may think that this is not important, then continue as you are and you will see. You know, I know no one can force anybody to do anything, but it is a beautiful thing for a man to just trust the word of God. And then it brings out the best in us, and then it is cloaked in sacrifice and genuine giving. There is no way that you're going to accomplish loving your wife or anyone else for that matter without sacrifice. All love, all real love, will require sacrifice. And a lot of men are afraid of really turning themselves over to God, because he's going to have to die to some degree. The old man's got to go. The old man, you know, that little scoundrel that likes to go out and have fun and any chance he gets and, you know, doesn't really switch into gears of being married. Yeah, you're going to have to die to that if you want to do it God's way. But did Jesus die to himself to give us God's way of absolute love when he sacrificed himself on that cross? We are not going to get out of this, people. We've got to follow the prototype, the testimony, and the example that Jesus has left us. Amen? Number three, man is to give, surrender, commit himself for her. This requires absolute trust in God. Man is going to require you trusting God and his word equally. If he surrenders to her, that means he is going to trust her. He is going to believe the best of her because love believes the best. The love of God is literally a bag of seeds we sow into others. It will always bring a harvest. So by faith, he sets himself to love her first, trusting that she will reciprocate this giving of herself as well. And you might ask, men, yeah, but when? I keep loving her. When am I going to get a little harvest? When is some of this going to come back to me? I hope you didn't ask that, because man should just set himself to do what's right between he and the Father, no matter what. The day has come. Listen to me, beautiful people of God. The day is here. It is go time. The day is now where we must all commit to doing what's right between us and God. Whether we see any effect around us, whether anybody acknowledges it or not, whether anybody begins to return it back to us, we are not going to care. We are going to do this because this is who we are going to be. Because people, what kind of people do you think exist in heaven? I'll let you think about that. What kind of people do you think are in heaven? The kind that are like, you know, God's calling an assembly in the main square. Oh, Pastor Tut, such an awesome message on the book of Revelations. And God may be calling us all to the square, and you're like, you know, I'm gonna ditch that for a while. I got my own thing going on over here. I'm gonna go to the river of life and do some fishing. And no. You're gonna love. And you're gonna love being with your brothers and sisters and your family up there and so on. The day has come, people, where we're going to commit to doing what's right no matter what. I made that decision at the beginning of the pandemic. A lot of things happened in my own life. And I just said to myself, you know what? Self, I spoke to self. And I said, self, we're not going to let anyone undo all the work that we have done in ourselves. We're not going to let anybody rob us of our progress. I have committed to becoming a certain person, according to the word of God, a certain kind of woman. And if I yield to this stuff that's coming at me, I'm going to end up being just like the person that's persecuting me. So rage on. Do what you're going to do. I respect you. Do what you're going to do. But I'm not going to be that way. And this is between me and God, not between me and you. I'm not trying to impress you. I am trying to impress my Father God. So when he surrenders, himself, he is also committing to not having a separate life from theirs. His single days are over. His running around is over. His priorities begin to align. God first. Always God first, wife second, children third, and so on. And many parents make the mistake of God kind of fits into our world. He fits into our schedule. He's not always the priority. God should always be the priority. And the wife, many times, if she's giving you a hard time or you have fallen out of love from her, you can't fall out of love. You fell out of emotions, feelings. When you're really loving someone, that doesn't end. Love never fails. It keeps going. It's eternal. And so if you've fallen out of love from the wife, you're going to shove her aside because, oh, I've got the kids, thank God, and I love my children. They are the world to me. Wrong. Let's keep going. In order to form a union and a marriage, there must be the element of cleaving to one another. So there can be no cleaving to one another if one partner is refusing to surrender to the other or continues to have a separate life. A continual resistance to surrendering or committing will constantly erode the cleaving process. Marriage requires the act of cleaving. Cleaving means being like two pieces of paper being glued together, every square inch of them. That's what we're supposed to be doing in our marriages, is cleaving to one another. So marriage requires the act of cleaving. This surrender and commitment presents the beautiful exclusivity that comes in a union. You are not seeking another. You are not doing just your own thing. You are now seeking to cleave intimately and deeply to the person you chose to marry. Bill and I have talked about over the years the beauty of this exclusivity that man and wife can have. We have that. And it's a beautiful thing to know that what I have with him, I will have with no other man. What he has with me, he will have with no other woman. We are very protective of that. Yes, because it's a beautiful exclusivity that you have with your mate. You don't understand, Pastor Eva. I don't have anything like that. Well, let's get to work. Remember, the word is a seed. Remember, the love of God is a seed. As you begin to sow, it will begin to come back to you. I promise you. Oh, man, do I know that one so well. I promise you. Number four, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. A wife is a husband's first disciple. But this discipleship needs to come after the man has chosen to become a disciple of Christ himself, or has at least begun that journey. We can't give what we don't have. If a man does not know how to be a disciple, a learner, a follower, an imitator, and a witness for Christ, then he will not understand what he is doing with his wife, and then with his entire family. A wife can learn and grow on her own, without a doubt. In fact, I'm surprised the women haven't started texting me, "What are you talking about? I'm not going to be his disciple. I've been growing and learning all on my own. I was closer to God than he ever was," and blah, 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 blah. Well, a wife can learn and grow on her own, without a doubt. If you can read and you have a hungry heart, you're going to learn from God. But this discipleship from her husband causes fellowship, connection, and a growing together that won't happen otherwise. He is bringing the word into his home. There's a balance here, people. I knew of a woman that would come to my office crying, "My husband won't disciple me. I'm not growing. Nothing's happening in my life. I don't even pray because he doesn't spend time with me. I keep telling him that he has to disciple me." And the more she would talk like that, the further the husband ran. And I don't blame him. Ladies, we are supposed to be walking with God completely on our own right now, growing. There's no limit to what you can get from God. But this discipleship is a very powerful form of unity and harmony. You're bringing your doctrines into agreement so that when the husband lays down the doctrines for the family, then the wife reinforces them in the home. They are in agreement. They're not going to be fighting about, "I don't believe that. I don't believe in Job and what happened to him. Well, I do, and you're not going to argue and fight over the word in front of the kids, amen? So glory to God. She can grow astronomically. I do. I have my own relationship with God. I never count on Bill. But that discipleship, there were times, people, when I remember a few times on our way to Bible studies or afterwards, I would be talking to Bill about the message. Man, especially in our early years, you know, because I was just learning the word, and he would share some things with me, and I would sob in the car on the way home. I remember one time he had pulled into a gas station to put gas, and he started talking to me, and I was sobbing. I could not believe the beautiful things my husband was learning, and you share things that maybe you're not learning, and with one another, and you just multiply the knowledge of the word of God in your home. Amen? It is important to realize that there can be no discipling or mentoring without a proper and genuine example / testimony that we are living out ourselves as a mentor. This is totally for a man. Men, begin to walk in the transparency and the genuineness of what you believe, which is hopefully the word of God. And women, because your wife is right underneath you, she's going to be learning from you. And then women, the children, even though the husband is going to bring in the precepts, I'm going to explain all of this very shortly, how it operates. And then the woman reinforces what the husband has laid down as precepts from the word of God. Amen. And so we all, women, we also have to have a genuine example and testimony. You, for example, you can't tell your kid, how much money did you get for your birthday, little Johnny? And he'll say, oh, I got $25, mommy. Oh, well, you have to give 10% of that. That's a tithe. And then you never tithe. That's not right. You have to forgive your sister, little Johnny. I know she hurt you, but you got to forgive her. And then you don't forgive the husband. We all have to walk the walk. Amen? It's just time, people. It is. And then the greatest mentoring Christ did with his disciples was that of being an example of what a true believer looks like. He modeled to them what they were to become and what they were to do as believers. He also taught them continuously. Sometimes wives are not open to being discipled by their husbands. However, most Christian women do love the word, and very few will reject this time together with you of growing and fellowship. Not many will be caught disobeying God's ways. She's got to be very worldly, very, very rebellious to say no if you sit her down, and I'm going to explain to you. This is going to be a very important section coming up very shortly on how the man is the spiritual leader in the home. Men, you don't come up with, you know, a whole book of discipleship for your wife, and you're buried in research and scriptures, and they're flying everywhere just so that you can begin to disciple her. No, when you're in the word and God makes a scripture come alive to you, you can share that scripture with her. That is discipling. It doesn't have to be very formal. I mean, Bill and I, we talk about the word. And Brian, too. He'll come in and we'll talk for 3 hours. It's a very natural process of discipleship. It's not something that you formally do. Okay, honey, it's time for your discipleship. Sit down. I'm going to teach you today. No, it's not like that at all. You literally say, honey, do you have a moment? I'd like to share something that God's been showing me. And, you know, you could be driving in the car and you share it with her. And then you guys begin to talk about it. If she's a little quiet, you ask her, what did you think about that, honey? How did it hit you? You know, what did it mean to you? That kind of thing. I mean, we've done that with the word of God here in our home continuously. We discuss the word. We discuss scriptures. Sometimes we don't always agree even in our interpretation. And then we go and we seek God on that. Amen. Glory to God. So we will talk about bringing the word into the home and about the discipling part a little later, one step at a time then. Right now, you're learning how to love her properly so she opens up and becomes ready in her heart to do the will of God as far as her side of this marriage union is concerned. Many of you have decided to become a disciple right under God's tutelage. He's going to be your tutor. And if you are becoming a true disciple following Christ every day for the rest of your life, and if you are learning as much as you possibly can from every possible source to be Christ's disciple, and finally, if you have decided to begin discipling your wife, I caution you to tread lightly. This discipleship is more of a fellowship around the word, a direct approach or a demanding approach towards the wife in an attempt to disciple her will not go over well. Just as it wouldn't go over well with you if Christ demanded that you become his disciple. Christ waited till you freely and openly moved into that place with him and with his word. Amen. Be patient with her. Remember that love is patient, which is the very foundation of the love of God. Amen. So be patient with her. Don't demand it. Like I said, it should be very natural. Maybe on a Friday night, you know, it's like, honey, what are we going to do tonight? It's Friday night. Treat your baby right. And you can tell her, honey, we can go for an ice cream and then we can bring it home and we can have a little bowl of ice cream. And, you know, let's talk about a couple of scriptures that I want to share with you what I learned this week. That's how it should be. It's nothing like, okay, you're going to do this and this is what God says about that. No, because God didn't do that to you. Amen. Glory to God. Number five, that he might present her to himself a glorious, splendid, gorgeous, honorable, noble church, not having spot or wrinkle, but that she should be holy, which is pure, and consecrated. Consecrated means she pulls herself away from being common. She pulls her away from the world. She pulls her away from, you know, not very good people, so that she should be holy and without blemish. What man would not want to have a wife that is splendid, gorgeous, honorable, and noble? A glorious wife who becomes all those things and who is daily becoming holy, pure, and consecrated so that she may stand before God one day in such splendor. What man wouldn't want that? Her husband can help her in the sanctification process and can help her set herself apart from the world by bringing in the word into the home, living it before her, modeling it to her, and encouraging her to follow in the same path that he's in towards Christ. A man completely helps Christ to sanctify his home and his wife by bringing in the word in various ways. All sanctification, which we all have to go through, by the way, we all have to set ourselves away from the world. We all have to set ourselves apart for God. We all have to become pure and holy. All of us should be doing that now. So all sanctification comes through the word. Without the word, no human can become sanctified. I was a nun, and let me tell you, what I saw in there was far from being consecrated and holy. You can do everything in your power to become that, and you won't be. You will be a counterfeit of it at best. But when you set yourself to eat the word and let the word have an effect on you, you become sanctified. Amen. So, let's see. Without the word, no human can become sanctified, which is holy, blessed, sacred, dedicated, purified, and approved. Sanctification is how we stand approved in front of God. Amen. We can't get up there, people, just like the day after we got born again as dirty little sinners. We can't get up to heaven and be the same person and make excuses for it before God. He is expecting that the power of the word will do its work on you like it did on him, like it did on every believer that is walking with him. So how does he bring in? He can help the sanctification of his entire family. Number one, by speaking the word to her and with her. By fellowshipping with her around the word versus the news or gossip. Let's start fellowshipping more around the word, people, and not so much about the news. The news can take up your attention 24/7. It is crazy what is happening by the minute right now around the world, or by living by the word. What are we going to do with for money? How are we going to survive? Dude, God's name is provider. That's how Bill and Eva Snyder have never been homeless. God has always fed us, as you can see very well. He has fed us very well. He has clothed us. He has taken care of us. And we never once worried about money. We never lived for money. We never served money. Some of the poorest people are more consumed by money, by the love of money. So living the word in your home is, oh, you know, honey, we're a little tight for the rent money. And the husband says, let's pray. Let's bring the provider in. He loves us. We're in covenant with him. He's not going to let us lose our home. And you get an agreement, amen. So living by the word, showing her how it's done. Remember, a true leader knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way. And just as the word is sanctifying him daily and is setting him apart as a disciple, he then turns around and brings in the word and helps bring about a deeper level of sanctification throughout the entire family and their home. Now, no condemnation. From day one, I've been telling you, look at this, not as correction, but as direction. We have not been teaching this. Bill and I have not taught this. The body of Christ, ministers have not taught this. All the way back to Adam, the baton was dropped. So we did not know to be this way. But men, through your process of discipleship with the Lord, of submitting to him as your Lord, and entering into sanctification, of getting rid of the world, walking away from dumb thinking, stupid thinking, you know, evil thinking, angered thinking, all of it, by walking away from it. That's sanctification. And you are going to end up helping your entire family get sanctified. How important is sanctification in the home? How important is it that at least one spouse is in the sanctification process? Look at this scripture. This is scary to me. 1 Corinthians 7:14. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife. You may be married to a non-believer. You may be married to a person that refuses to believe the word of God, even though he's born again, supposedly. But the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, by the believing wife. And the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the believing husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but now they are holy. People, this sanctification that I'm talking about is so critical. What does this mean? Otherwise, your children would be unclean? But look at the power of sanctification. If you are with someone that's not walking with the Lord, they can become sanctified by being married to you. This is powerful, people. Your children will be sanctified. Oh, people, please believe me. The time has come for husbands to walk away from the world. He must walk away from worldly thinking that will completely undo the word he is painstakingly taking in and learning. The world will dilute spiritual things. This world is passing away because it is corrupt, polluted, and evil. It's time to set ourselves apart unto God. Number 6, husbands ought to love their wives as their own body. Now here is an interesting dynamic that even deals with trauma. If a man does not take care of his body, or perhaps dislikes or maybe even hates his own body, he will tend to treat his wife likewise. Because he rejects his own body, he will naturally tend to reject his own wife, who is now a part of his own body. Man will not understand the depth of his impact on his wife until he realizes that she has literally become one with him. She has become a literal part of him, and he has become a literal part of her. That's what happens when you get married. It's very profound. Nowadays, we are about as disconnected as ever. And the phones, oh my God, social media is killing actual, natural connection with one another. So look at Mark 10:8. And the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Why the need to love her this way? Why do I have to love her as my own body? 1 Peter 3:7. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. So you are to dwell with her by understanding her. Oh, women are crazy. I don't get them. Oh my God. I've spent all my life trying to understand them. I don't get them. God will show you. He will teach you how to understand your wife. This is a scripture. You think he's not going to help you with this? And you can't dwell with her if you don't get her, if you don't understand her. If you think she's weird, if you think she's off the wall, if you can't really stand being around her too long, man, you need an understanding of why your wife is the way she is. Amen? And then give honor to her as the weaker vessel, as the weaker vessel. Sometimes women, we're going to have to be stronger even than our husbands. There will be times like that. I've experienced that like 3 or 4 times in my own marriage, you know, and thank God my husband has been very diligently discipling me and teaching me because we are in a church. My own pastor is my husband. And I was strong enough to help him in his time of need. Amen. So as the weaker vessel, you are to honor her, you know, open the car door for her, help her up if she's struggling to get up. You know, help her bring down a can from up in the shelves. It's okay to be like that with her. Treat her as a weaker vessel, even though she probably can do it herself. And as being heirs together of the grace of life, you're going to reign and through that grace because you're heirs of that grace. And also that your prayers may not be hindered. Men, you do not want to not love your wife properly. Because your prayers will get hindered. And we don't want that. Not in this hour. Our prayers have to have a direct line right to God because we're going to need him. We're going to need God. So men, do not hold a grudge against your wife. Start learning her. Start understanding her and start loving her. Don't question it. Don't demand it. Just do it. Amen. This is how marriage should look from day one. It's a process that we start. Mark 10:7. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then, they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. And look, two pieces of a puzzle. The husband is doing his part to bring himself closer. The wife is doing her part to bring herself closer. There's a special little uniting element here that brings them together so they can become one. That is what we should be doing and not the opposite of the man turned the little statue around, pushing it away from her and her away from him. And unfortunately, that's happening way too much. God tells us, people, I'm going to go a little bit longer. The Lord told me to. If you absolutely need to, I mean, because it's an emergency and your house is burning down, you can go. Other than that, we should be normally church lasts an hour and a half to 2 hours sometimes. And I need to be able to get through this, please. And I wish I could share with you everything that the Lord shared with me and Pastor, and we will be sharing that very shortly, okay? But just trust me, I need to get this information to you. God tells us here that you must consider her as part of your body, as something that is intimately and profoundly connected to you. If a man understands this principle of great cohesiveness, of glue, of coming together, of being glued together, this clinging of two persons together, he will find it impossible to reject or forsake her. You are to love her with the same value that you put on your own body. Once the marriage is consummated, you have become one. Once you've had sex, you have become one. To love her is to see her as completely a part of you, as an extension of you, much like your children are. You understand, those children are my extension, they're my lineage. So is your wife. Your wife is part of that extension of you. How intimate is this? How united is this? So God must first teach us all how to love and esteem and value ourselves and our bodies. We cannot hate our bodies and ourselves and then turn around and love others. This next point proves that. People, it's very important that we get healed. Body dysmorphia, people hating their bodies, you know. You got to love yourself. Just love yourself wherever you're at. Did you know that's the only way to help yourself to change? It's just loving yourself where you're at. Amen? Number 7. He who loves his wife loves himself. Did you hear that, men? If you are loving your wife, you are literally loving yourself. God tells us the order of things throughout his word. Matthew 22:37. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." So now we know that the first commandment that Jesus gave us is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. And then the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor, that person that's as close by or near to you as yourself. You're going to love your wife, who is the first and closest person near you, as you love yourself. You should not ever love yourself more than you love your wife. That is completely antichrist. You should love your wife as much as you love yourself. But you cannot hate yourself and think you're going to love your wife. That doesn't work. Somewhere in there, there's going to be major holes in what you're doing. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets, Jesus said. So before a man can love himself or his wife or even the family, he needs to love the Lord his God with all his heart, soul, and his mind, and then himself. Amen. Why? Because in learning how to love the Lord properly, he will learn how to love himself in that same puristic, holy way. Loving God heals us from hatred that came from traumas and bitterness and unforgiveness. Loving God eventually disintegrates all forms of hatred, including self-hatred. And once he learns to love himself, he can then love his wife and his family and others as himself. In the process of a man loving God and then loving himself, all the pollution from his well, from his heart, will be removed. There is always going to be a divine order to things. If a man hates himself, he will be incapable of loving others. Again, we can't give what we don't have. It just makes sense. If we love our mates more, now listen very carefully, please. If we love our mates more than God, we are off. If we love our family, our kids more than our mates, we're off. If we love God and not our mates and family, then we're not truly loving God, because they are his creation. They are his children as well. And again, we're off. This Ephesian type of love is perfection according to the word. God knows what he's doing. This command to love in this fashion is very powerful and far-reaching. It is impacting his children and his grandchildren and even the great-grandchildren of his own clan. Husbands, when you love your wife properly, you are affecting three generations down. More is caught than is taught. Therefore, it is demonstrating to the males in his clan how a woman is to be loved and treated according to God. As he loves his wife properly, he is naturally and without a word showing the sons and daughters God's very heart and intentions for marriage. And he will be handing down to his generations after him how to love the most crucial, how to fulfill the most crucial mandate God gave mankind, and that is to love him first, then love ourselves, and then our mates, and finally our children. You can end up with generations of miserable, unhappy, or even divorced families. Or you can end up with homes that are solid, are unified, and are genuinely loving with one another. Either of these two outcomes depend on the choice that every man makes. He could single-handedly set up this great potential for literally generations of precious, happy homes. As they say, happy life, happy wife, happy life. And what man would want his daughter or his granddaughters abused or mistreated in any way? So in choosing Ephesians to guide him, he is teaching all the females in his clan the type of man they should strive for and settle for, as someone who will love them and commit and surrender to them, and not of someone that will abuse them in any way. His impact will be so far-reaching that he will literally teach the females in his clan true self-respect and self-worth by the way he treats and respects and values his wife.
Bill, can you do me a favor and bring me my phone? It's in the bedroom, please.
Okay. Likewise, if a man is miserable in his marriage, he will affect future generations in the same miserable manner. They will think that this is normal. This is the way things should be. If my own parents are this way, I guess that's, you know, and I have to trust them, and they're the adult here, then that's how it should be. But a man after God's own heart is a man that strives to love as God loves. He sets himself to learn the Father, understand his ways, and do his best to imitate God and his love. Look at this beautiful little girl. She will mirror. Sorry, baby.
It's all right.
She will mirror all the adults in her world. It is their attitudes that will impact her view of life forever. So men, understand that loving your wife isn't just about that woman that you may be having a little hard time with right now. It's about all the generations that are coming after you, down to three generations, of both males and females. You are teaching them how you love a woman, how you treat a woman. I mean, if a man disrespects his wife, if a man beats her up, what is to stop the sons from doing the very same thing to her? And I've heard of children beating up their mother. Why? They saw the father do it. Likewise, when the husband respects the wife, the sons, the daughters will learn to respect the wife as well. It's a law of sowing and reaping, people. Next time we meet, we're going to begin The Husband is the Protector. It's so powerful. Encouraging words for our men. God will speak for you in ways you can't even imagine. God will speak for you. He will speak up for you. He will defend you. I cannot tell you the times that God would correct me without Bill saying a word, and I would end up going to him and apologizing. I'm talking about many, many times that God would open up my eyes and defend him without him, without Bill saying anything or fighting for his rights. It's been amazing. And vice versa. He's done the same thing with me. This next one, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Exodus 14:14. The Lord will fight for you. He will fight for you. He will stand up for you. I'm going to play to you two. They're not very long, but they're very, very powerful.
A big mistake that I think a lot of spouses, especially women, make in their marriage. They forget that their husbands are human and they're going to make mistakes. Problem is, though, we also make mistakes, but our husbands tend to give us a lot of grace. But for some reason, women have this thing in them, and I don't know what it is. And being a woman on the other side of it now, I really don't know what it is either. We literally feel the need to take whatever mistake a man makes and beat him over the head with it. But yet, we can make a mistake, and he's going to forgive us and still love us and treat us the same a million times. Now, for some of y'all who always like to come at me in the comments or in my message, this does not apply to narcissistic spouses, so we're not even going that route. We're not talking about narcissists here, okay? This world has literally conditioned us to think that when a man messes up, that's like he gets 3 strikes and he's done, but women get unlimited chances. I don't know why that is, and honestly, I think that's part of the reason marriages are going down the toilet, because there is literally no grace given. Love towards men is conditional, while love towards women is unconditional. And then we wonder why marriages are so screwed up. So if you're a wife watching this, realize that your husband is going to make mistakes, just like you do. But how you treat him after those mistakes are made, that's going to determine how your marriage goes.
Sometimes I think we have a lack of understanding of our husband's needs, that he actually needs us. My kids are messy, demanding, at times they're often disobedient. I understand how much they need me, and here's the deal. I continue to serve them despite what they give me. What do my kids give me? They give me drama, chaos, messy house, laundry, you know, all the things, sleepless nights. But guess what? I continue to serve them, and I live my life in such a way to meet their needs, not according to their behavior, but regardless of their behavior. Focus. Using motherhood as an example, we as women will sometimes treat our children, our sons, as if they can do no wrong. But when it comes to our husbands, it seems they can't do anything right. We are naggy, negative, and we neglect their need of respect based off their performance, and that is not okay. Truth be told, they are someone's son. You know what's helped me love him? Is I look at Bubba, and I think one day, he's not perfect, and he's not going to be perfect, and I pray that his wife will be able to look in his eyes even when he fails and even when he messes up and calls out who he's created to be. Doesn't look at him and call him names and belittle him and use her words to destroy him, but calls the life that is inside of him and the future and the hope that comes in knowing Jesus. And so that's how I view him. How would I want Bubba's wife to talk to him?
So when I heard these two, it really affected me. And I certainly over and over did that. That we have all this compassion and grace for our children, and we act like our husbands are not human, and we expect perfection from them. And when they are not, and half the time, who's to say what perfection is? You know, we're judging them based on what we think they should be doing. And how merciless we are sometimes in correcting them. And, you know, they are just like us. We make so many mistakes as women, and I have seen this. It's actually true that we tend to get away with more. There is a little more grace on us. But when our men, it's like, how could you? How could you fail here? And that's not right, amen? So I just thought I'd share that, you know, to balance tonight out a little bit. And, you know, just, I would have taught it no matter, I mean, I would have shared that no matter what, because I think it's very powerful. Is that we forget that they are just doing their best for the most part. They are trying, but they're going to fail. And we need to have the same grace that they show us or that we show our children. Think about that, people. If the order that I'm giving you is correct, and first comes God, and then our mate, and we are treating the children way better than we treat our own husbands, we are so off. We are so off. But we're going to get it right. Amen. I love you dearly. We're going to stop here.